facilitator in the guidance of your household. God has given a direct call on your life. The women cannot do it. The wife cannot do it. The mother cannot do it. There is a distinct role for a man in every household and every family that cannot be substituted with anything else. Nobody else can fulfill the role of the man. That is your gender role. And my friend, as we're looking today, I was reading so many different statistics, and my heart just got overwhelmed with the fact that the childishness in our age, where most of men in most households are trying their best to play catch up with their wives. If the wife is in church sometimes, I'm telling you statistically, not everywhere, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of men that are not spiritual and the wife is spiritual. That should never be, my friend. This should be a cohabiting. This should be a partnership. This should be a leadership in every man that rises up in you. And some men have to be treated like kids by their wives. And my friend, that is a shame. And some kids look to their fathers as brothers and sisters. That should not be. There's a role that you have to fulfill, and only you can do it as a man. That is your distinct calling. You say, I don't know what my calling is. I'll tell you, number one, fulfill your gender role. You don't have to hear from an angel to understand that. Be a man and be a woman. This unisex generation, my word, I don't want to chase this rabbit too far, but it's worth chasing sometimes. This unisex generation where everything is just blurred and you can be what you want to. No, my friend. As soon as you usurp the authority and the gender role that God's given your life, you start tampering with the satanic and the confusion and the breakdown. And I'm telling you, for every man, every woman in this room, be a man and be a woman and be comfortable and be pleasurable in doing so. It's not a task. It's not slave ship. You are what you are, and you can find joy. And matter of fact, I'll say this, there's the only joy you ever find in life is when you actually are doing what God's called you to do. The reason we've got so much suicide and depression is because we've seen such a breakdown. The greatest fulfillment in your life, young man, or men and women in this church, the greatest fulfillment in your life is when you are doing what God has called you to do. You'll find no greater fulfillment in your life. That is what God calls you to do, my friends. You're not called to go outside and abort mission and do all that. You've got to do what God's called you to do. Now, my friend, as we look at this today, we would understand the divine architecture of the family in the Bible. When we read Ephesians 5 and 23, it says this, "For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." When you read that word head of the wife or headship, that idea there does not mean that a man is somebody who's a slave or a taskmaster, but it means that he is the leader of that house. That's what you're called to do. There is a leadership role in every man. It was supposed to be the one that is leading. Of the husband, it is to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision in that home. Men, it's your primary responsibility. That does not mean it's just the sole responsibility. You know what primary means? It means, number one, it's yours. Sole responsibility is when you're a man, you're saying, look, I don't care what you think, honey. I don't care what you think, children. That's sole responsibility. Primary responsibility is this. You're number one. You're the lead. With a leadership heart and a servant heart, we would understand that is what the mentality should be in the minds of every husband. The mentality that you will let your life lead, let your wife lead, and you will be the provider is even unbiblical. I've heard men say this, I'll let her lead the family spiritually, and I'll just provide. That's a lie. You know not what spirit you're of. You're never to say that. Well, I'll just get the money for the household and I'll let her take in the church. That's pathetic, and that should never be. As we look at this today, my friend, we must understand the mother can never fill the role of a father as well as the father cannot fill the role of a mother. They're two distinct operations. Now, I know there is times when there's some abandonment and a man will not fulfill the role. You say, Brother Dan, what's your advice there? I'll tell you what it is. Get him to church. Get him under some biblical influence. Get him around some men that can help lead and guide him. That is the greatest thing you can do if you do not have a husband or a father to lead your children. And if you're a father and you say, I don't, She's gone. I don't know what to do with the child. I'll tell you what to do. Bring them to church. And start doing your best to fill that gap, or let the pastor or others try to help you fill that role. There's a tragedy of situations. I know that. But my friend, today we've got to understand there are four areas and many more, but we're going to go over four today. Four areas where the father or the husband should always lead. Number one today, he should lead in his personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every father that's in this building, the first is the pursuit of your own personal relationship with God. No man will be a spiritual leader in his home if he's not pursuing after God with all that he has. Hear me today, men, it ought to be inside of you. If you're born again today, it ought to be ingrained in you that you are called to go after God with all of your might. You ought to know Jesus Christ more than anybody. You ought to know Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You ought to be seeking His face in the mornings. You ought to be praying and fasting. You ought to be reading your Bible. You ought to be going to church. You ought to be going to Bible study. If you're going to be the man to know who God is, the only way you can know God is know His Word and know His body. And you've got to be able to be a man that can do that. This hypocrisy in the home is killing the next generation. It is murdering it. We talk about how bad abortion is, and it is. But there's a spiritual abortion that's going on in the house of God. We've got to make sure you're leading and you're guiding inconsistencies in your own life spiritually. It's not just how straight you walk, but how spiritual are you? We've messed up in the holiness movement when we've done that. If you walk straight and you spit white and you talk right, I mean, we feel like we get that right, but we're not spiritual or spiritual minded or led of the Holy Ghost. My friend, I'm telling you, there's got to be a balance in your life. You've got to make sure as a man you're doing everything you can. If you, my friend, if you try to lead the household without being a spiritual person, my friend, it's not spiritual leadership, and you're going to end up losing your children or losing loved ones. My friend, you've got to make sure you're spiritual and you're leading. And my friend, I know you can't prevent everything. I know that. But if anybody does go to hell, let us stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, I know I did all that I could. I know that I lived the life that I could. That ought to be in you to say, look, Lord, let me do everything I can. Everything I can. I know this is my first year. And being a young pastor, there are two things you always run into. If you talk about marriage, you're going to have people say, you're too young to talk about marriage. If you talk about parenting, they're going to say, you're too young to talk about parenting. Your daughter's only 3 months old. Look, I'm understand. I hadn't raised five kids, but I'll tell you this, I've read the Bible. And I'm also smart enough to look at history. Hey, man, you don't learn from the past and something's wrong with you. I'm also smart enough to look at the world and say, something's wrong, let me figure out what's wrong. That's like saying, look, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know, it's like saying, my car blew up. But don't tell me how to, you know, I can't try to prevent my car from blowing up. Look, everybody don't have to go down the road of tragedy to learn. We can learn from history. We can look and learn and read the Bible. The second place that a man should lead is this. He should lead in shaping the family's moral and spiritual vision. If you're not doing that in your family, you're already down the road of destruction. Or going down it slowly but surely. You have to make sure the second area is to lead in shaping their moral and spiritual vision. A leader is somebody who takes the time and the initiative to think about priorities and goals. You can't lead anyone anywhere until you have thought about where you're going. If you had looked at the map yourself, don't give me no advice where to turn. Amen. Don't sit there and say, well, I've never been in this area before. You know, I've had a few times since I've been here, they say, do you know how to get here? I'll say, I don't have a clue. Now, what if I was to act and say, well, I've been down five roads probably in this highway, but I don't have a... You know, if you take a left up there, that may... No, I don't know! Because now I've got a little more knowledge. I've been here over a year. But my friend, there's some of you have been here for many years. You could tell me to go every back road to avoid which traffic where. But friend, I have to stay on the highway and endure the traffic because I don't know where I am. Same thing spiritually, my friend. If you're going to lead your family, you better have read the map and you better know where the X's are. You better know where the bridge is out. You better know where the danger is. You better know all these things. That's the only way you can lead your wife and your children. Read the map. Read the Bible. My friend, a good leader always takes the insight and needs and desires of his family into view. Leader, you are a leader and not a dictator. You ought to know where you're going. And my friend, the father should take the initiative in forming moral and spiritual goals in that family. Number three today, it is your obligation to be the gatherer of your family for events in church. Don't always expect the wife. Now, I know there's breakdowns in certain. I know these things. But it should be your obligation as the man to say, honey, get the children, bring them in the living room. I'm going to read the Bible tonight. It should be the man. It's all right when the mother does that. But men take the initiative in doing these things. Let me give you an example. The Bible gives us this very clear picture in the book of Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wife as who loves the church? As Christ loves the church. Now, what if Jesus was sitting there looking at the church and saying, I'm going to let the church make the initiative first and then I'll die? No, sir. Jesus looked at the church and said, I'll die for them. So they'll accept this. The initiative is always on the headship and the leadership. The fourth area that we've got to understand is this. There has to be reconciliation in your home. Every time, I'm telling you, friends, there's more homes with bitterness and arguments between the husband and wife. And what that does, my friend, it directly affects your children. Mama and daddy, don't expect that you can chew each other out all week and your children hear you. That they don't act like it. It does affect them. I've already told my wife, I said, honey, let's get every kink worked out. Whatever it is, sweetie. I mean, we don't go around arguing all the time. I promise you, it's not. We love each other. It's a mutual relationship. But I told her, God forbid, if that daughter has to sit there when she gets of age and can begin to realize things, God forbid that we sit there and lead her down the wrong road because of personal vendettas or bad ideas. I don't even want to give my daughter the wrong idea about my in-laws. You know what the problem is sometimes? We talk about adult subjects in front of children that should never be. And you have to be careful. I do and you do. There's some things as a church that the mature should bear it on the shoulders and some of the immature should never hear about it. Amen. I told you this before. It's comical a little bit. Sad. And Brother Greg Roberts was a great preacher that we know of. And he's just a good brother. He said one time he was at a nursing home meeting and he had a church member bring his little boy with him. And he was joking around. They were talking about arguing or something, joking around. And that little boy there, I think, was, I forgot how old he was. And that little boy said, my mom and daddy don't argue. And Brother Greg said, they don't. He said, no. They go, boom, boom, boom. And they said, that dad put his, he said, don't talk to the preacher, son. You did. Children see. And children watch. And children hear. Do not be guilty. The Bible says if you offend one of these little ones, amen. It says remove not the ancient landmarks. Do not enter into the fields of the fatherless. You've got to be careful that we're not shaping a generation of grudges and bitterness and perversion. You've got to make sure your children are not even watching certain things. Man, hear me today. There's two areas, and let me move on in this, because reconciliation can go between the mom and dad. Make sure your relationship's reconciled. That's not for your children to sit there and reconcile it for you. But as a father, not only should you reconcile the relationship with your wife, but make sure you've reconciled the relationship for those, your parents, child to family, child to society. Reconcile all these relationships. But the greatest reconciliation for your children is this, the reconciliation between God and that child. It's going to be up to you, moms and dads, but fathers, being the leader. It's up to you to look at them children and let them know there's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. You can tell when the age of accountability is. Amen. Sometimes I've seen people 15 years old. I don't know if he's there. He's there. He's there. Be spiritual enough as a mom and dad that you can look at your child and you can realize when the light switch comes on. And they start feeling conscious guilt for sins. They start coming to you and say, "Mama, I shouldn't have done this." Instantly, what should you do? You say, "Whip them." No, before you whip them, let them know Jesus forgives them. And begin to work with them. Have wisdom in your parenting and these things. The ministry of a man is this. One of the biggest ministries of a man, I'm going to move forward in this, the ministry of provision and protection. The ministry of provision and protection. One man said this in a quote, "Leadership does not assume that it is superior. It assumes that it should take initiatives." The idea is this. As a man, you're not supposed just to stand there and say, "Look, I'm the head of the household." As a man, you're supposed to sit, look there and see the needs of your family and do everything you can to make ends meet in different areas. Life hangs on this. Protection and provision. Let me give you an example. If your family doesn't eat, your family doesn't live. Amen. Your children don't eat for 2 months. I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have some dead children. That's provision. But also protection. If you do not protect your children, they're susceptible to so many different areas and so many different things. But when it comes to a man, hear me this today, my friend. I want this to be clear. When it comes to a man, provision is very, very necessary. Now, every man, if you're a true blue American, every man would say, "I should provide for my family. If not, you're an infidel." That's what the Bible says. Amen. Man, that Bible will tell you what you are, won't it, if you don't provide. Provision, my friend, is this. The husband bears the primary responsibility to put bread on the table and clothes on the back. That's the primary responsibility. Now, I didn't say it's the sole responsibility. It's the primary. Let me give you a fine example. In the normal atmosphere of humanity, the breadwinner is usually the man. Even read other countries, and the domestic manager and designer and nurturer is usually the mother. Men, why is it? Now, the Bible even gives us, it says, "You being evil fathers," in Luke chapter 11, "you being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children," he said, if your son asks of you a stone, you know, asks of you bread, would you give him a stone? You wouldn't do that. Not, you're not even here. Something's wrong. Why is it that men, hear me, I want you to pay attention to these few sayings. Why is it that men really will say amen when we talk about physical provision, but why is it we don't say amen to spiritual provision? We'll say, "Yes, I need to feed my children, but what about spiritually? Yes, I need to provide for my children. I've got to make sure they're eating. I've got to make sure they're healthy. I've got to make sure that they're okay. I've got to make sure that they have clothes. I've got to make sure they have the necessities of life." But my friend, spiritual provision is even more important than physical provision. Because there may come a place in your life that you can't provide the physical. But we know God can. The Bible says, you know, look at the sparrows. Consider the lilies. God will meet the needs. But spiritual provision, my friend, is greater than all of these. This means that the man must go hard after God. You can only lead spiritually. If you're growing in the knowledge of God yourself, you ought to be the one leading your family to church. Amen. If I stepped on your toes, just tuck them. You ought to be the one that's leading your family to church. You ought to be the one spiritually that's pulling up the chair and saying, "Honey, sit right here. I'm telling you, God's got something for you." That ought to be you as a man. Not only do, my friend, do we believe in provision physically and spiritually, but how many believes in physical protecting your family? I know some people have a fault with me here, but if you're a man and you're trying to break in my house and kill my wife and my daughter, don't try to come up them steps. Bye-bye. People say, "Well, maybe it's the North Carolina in me. I ain't going to lay there and let no man come to my house and disrupt my home." You say, "Well, they have a right to go to heaven." I'll say, "Well, my family's got a right to live. That's biblical. I'll show you enough ground for it. We wouldn't be a free country if it wasn't for it. Don't cross certain territories and boundaries." How sorry of a husband would you be if you hear the window break downstairs and you're laying there in bed, you say, "Honey, it's your turn." We'd all look at you and say, "You sorry rascal." You're sorry. I don't care if your wife's got a black belt in karate. Go down the steps and be the man. Or get your wife and them underneath the bed and do whatever you got to do, but figure out a way to protect your home. But you know, how sorry would it be for a husband to lay there and say, honey, this is a mutual relationship. You know, it's your turn. Last time I went down, it was just a cat, but this time I holler if you need it. How many knows that's unnatural? Why do we believe that physically, but don't believe that spiritually? How sorry is it for the man to lay in bed on Sunday morning and say, honey, take him to church? Come on. How sorry would it be on a Sunday afternoon, I'm watching the games, will you take the kids to church? No. That's sorry. As a matter of fact, if it's unnatural in the physical, it's unnatural in the spiritual. Whew. Why do we like to separate the two? The spiritual is more important than the physical, amen? You may die hungry, but you can still go to heaven. Yeah, come on now, that's the truth. I'm telling you, the spiritual is still more important than the physical. And if we believe that, men, step up and be the spiritual protectors of your home. Well, I'll let my wife. Don't let your wife do it. You do it. Work together with her. Work together with her. Now, as we look at this, my friend, we understand it's the husband's primary responsibility to set standards and to set walls and barriers for their family, including their wife. Let me give you a fine example. You're sitting there, and say you have a TV and you turn it on. The man should take the initiative and think, should this be allowed to watch in my home? Or can something come through that spiritually and destroy my children? Amen. But what you usually see is the man sitting there and he says, come on, son, look at this. Wow, he just blew his head off. Whoa! Not a man. Bold statement. See me after church. I'll give you enough Bible for it. The Bible calls you an infidel. You should never be mid-20s, 30, 40 years old, and you hadn't figured this out yet. I believe Jesus pretty much knew what He was talking about at 12 years old. And at 30 years old, you found a man that went to Calvary, claw a dirt heel, and lay down on a cross and be crucified. He did it because he knew it was the will of God. He knew his role in life. I heard one time, we were talking about this, never in my life seen a generation of men, and God help us. You know, I know I'm shooting bullets, but hey, look, put the vest on and just bear with me. I tell you, you know, I heard one brother at one time, you ever heard that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold This Body Down? Ever heard that song? There used to be one brother at F.K. Powers, he's passed on, went with the Lord. He'd have a man that was late for church all the time. Late every service. He'd make his way up there and sing, and Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold This Body Down. Or Brother F.K. Powers said, that grave ain't gonna have no trouble with you, because them sheets do a good job. Them sheets do a mighty fine job. Brother Derek, you say, you trying to control when we sleep? I'm not, but I'm telling you, we have service at church. I can't help what you do. What you want to do on midday. I mean, spirit, you know, serve the Lord. Rest. But my friends, when it comes to Sundays, let's make sure we're leading our families and protecting them. We ought to ask what they're watching. Is this acceptable? Will this destroy them? What about which movements our children will go to? What music they listen to? Look at all these things. What are they causing in their lives? Should you protect them? My gracious. Fathers, be the initiator in your home, even the clothing styles. Amen. There ought to be certain things as a husband, as a father, you're looking at them saying, no, that cannot be. What that causes them, what if they go out in public and get seduced into a wrong relationship that will destroy their lives. Fathers, what have you allowed them to wear and do? Oh, we could teach on this. I could teach a whole week on how fathers could help their daughters and how mothers could help their daughters. But we won't go there today. Let me move on forward in this. And I know I don't want to bore you. And I know it's Father's Day. But my friend, our fight against anger and bitterness in our home is so important. The Bible says this. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. My friends, hear me. If we give place to the devil in our homes through different anger, bitterness, perversions, whatever it is, whose fault is it? It starts with us as the head of the household. As my wife gets ready to go to the piano, I don't want to draw this out past what God wants. I know this sounds mighty hard today, but my mind went to, as I was studying for this, my mind went to the book of Genesis. After Adam and Eve had fell in the garden, hear me today. We know that as God came in that garden, He said these words right here. Adam, what did He say? Adam, what did He say to Adam? Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you? Why didn't we? The question comes up, and I've read it before. Do you notice that He didn't look for Eve? She was the first one to bite the apple. He's looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? I would dare say, and I felt this in my heart the other day, I believe God's crying out in our culture, not Adam, where art thou, but fathers, where are you? Fathers, men, where are the men in this culture? Where are the men? The God's Word tells us, my friend, that Adam was the husband, the father. Where are you? If something is not working right, hear me, if something is not working right at your house, and Jesus came knocking at your door, He may have an issue with your wife, but the first thing He's going to say when He opens that door says, where's the man of this house? Amen. If God came to your home right now and knew there was something that needed to be fixed, the knock would come. Jesus would open that door. Where's the father and where's the husband? Let's sit down. Let's work this out. Because men, you are the leaders of your home. My friend, I've just been reading over some Father's Day stories, some different things that have touched my heart. And I read one story about a man. He said that he would come home from work every day. And he said he would come home from work and he'd be so dirty and so dusty. And one day his child met him at the door and said, Daddy, why are you so dirty? He said, Son, I'm out there working, just trying to make a living, trying to provide for y'all. The next day, he said, he sees his son outside rubbing dirt on his clothes. He said, Son, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, I want to be dirty just like you. His dad said this, if my son will mimic me down to the very dirt on my clothes, how much more is he watching me in other areas of life? If he loves me so much that he wants to be dirty just like me, he wants dirt on his clothes, I know there'll be other areas he'll look at me, areas that seem more sanitized, and he'll say, I want to do that as well. Can we stand to our feet today? And during this altar call, I know this on a Father's Day you want to encourage, and that's why I did this. I'm trying to encourage us as fathers. Because I know a lot of things that I said today doesn't apply to every man in this room. I know we've got some good men, some good husbands, some good fathers in this room, and I appreciate every one of you. Happy Father's Day. But what I want to do, can every man that is in the church, like we did on Mother's Day, but every man that's in the church, can we come and stand around the front of this church, please? If you could just move out of your seat right now, every man, and that's you. Amen. And just come find your place and stand just for a few moments. And if you don't want to participate, I understand. You don't have to be a father. You can just be a man. Just come find your place to stand around the front of